It is not what people say about me that matters. It is what they whisper. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. It is not what people say about me that matters. It's what they whisper. When I am getting ready to give a lecture, people are very kind. They get up and give my resume, and they choose from that resume things that they think would be significant relative to the talk that I'm going to be giving. And then they speak about those things. Sometimes they pick the right thing, and sometimes they don't. But they make their choice. Instead of just taking the resume that's given to them and edit it ahead of time, they usually edit it while they're reading it. And in the process of doing that, it sounds a little disjointed. You've heard other people being introduced by people. Now, for instance, if Bill Gates were introduced, and you say, "Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to bring you Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft." And for most people throughout the world, that'd be adequate. But another announcer might say, "Ladies and gentlemen, it gives you great pleasure to bring you Bill Gates, the father of three beautiful children who have learned gentleness, who have learned manners, who have learned all of the wonderful things that we prize most in children. Because Bill Gates has made it a point every night to come home from work and spend at least 2 or 3 hours with his family every day out of his wonderful program. And he's just decided that that, to him, is very important." Now, you might ask, what's so good about that? Well, Bill Gates is speaking to a group of parent teachers. He's speaking to a group of parents. He's speaking to a group of psychologists. And what he's doing, he's sharing with them what he believes and what he does. Well, in the back of the room, a little ripple starts out and says, "That's a lie. Bill Gates doesn't go home and spend 3 hours with his children every night. I know. He's been in New York now for 2 weeks. Bill Gates has been in Paris for a week. Bill Gates has been speaking at this conference and that conference, and he's not home with his children." And the whisper goes on until somebody takes the whisper and says, "So, is there any person on the face of the earth who says they spend 3 hours every night with their children, who ipso facto spends 3 hours every night with their children? Or do they spend 3 hours every night with their children whenever it is at all possible?" Now, if they said every night, ipso facto, without regard for anything else, that'd be impossible to say, wouldn't it? Be impossible to say. What if they were sick in the hospital and they had something that kept them away from their family for a week or more? Would they bring their children to the hospital and endanger them by whatever they're going through? No. But can they say, "I always spend 3 hours every night with my children"? Now, do you know? Do you know? And I think that none of you are so brilliant. Do you know what he does on the telephone? Do you know whether he takes 3 hours of his busy time, wherever he may be, before he goes to bed, whatever time it may be? He maybe wakes his kids up in the middle of the night. Maybe he gets his kids instantly as they come home from school, wherever he may be on the face of the earth. "Hi, kids, Dad." And they say, "Wow." And of course, in Bill Gates' house, they have the best speakerphone in the world. And they also have what? They have video phone. Ha, ha, ha. And so they can look at each other and they can hear each other talk, because that's directly on the computer, right on the internet. Doesn't cost any money. Oh, hey, who? Bill Gates isn't concerned about the cost of money, you can be sure about that. But he can have that internet, and he can have that personal confrontation with his children for three hours. They can stand just looking at a telephone figure? No. Bill Gates talks about what's of interest to his kids. He asks them questions about what they're doing. He asks them questions about what's going on in the world and what are their thoughts about this and that. He is a literate, brilliant being who never finds insufficient things to talk about. He always finds things to talk about, do you understand? He cares. He really cares about his family. Now, you, in your ignorance, you say, oh, but he isn't always 3 hours every night as a child, you know. How can he be that way? He's in Paris, he's in Rome, he's talking around the world, he's speaking in Japan, you know, and he's the company has a bad condition that just took place, and they got to go down, spend all night working on it, you know. Well, what do you think? True, he doesn't get in his car and drive home to his family. True, he doesn't leave the emergency. But do you think that he could take a couple hours away from the emergency and get on the computer and talk to his family? Do you think that he could have a wireless wherever he was and directly speak to his family wherever they are? They know that's their precious time. Do you think that they care enough about their father that they want to be with him regardless of anything? And do you think the father tells them about the troubles he's having or about the successes that he's having? Guess what? The plant blew up, but a wonderful thing happened. We figured out why. And the reason why was because we left the open end on one of the computers without closing it off, and it gave instructions for things to happen that shouldn't have happened because someone didn't close it off. But that's okay. It's only about $40 million worth of damage. But we'll have that fixed in no time. But we learned a lesson. We need to have some stop for that. God, Dad, you know, you really figured that out, you know? Man, why didn't you figure it out ahead of time? Well, it hadn't crossed my mind ahead of time. I never thought that somebody would not do their job that they have agreed to do. But, Dad, you always do your job you agreed to do. Why doesn't everybody else in your world do their job they agree to do? And Bill doesn't knock the other people. He'd say, well, sometimes something slips their mind, you know. Sometimes something comes to their attention that takes their mind away from their job, and they're not diligent in their work, and poof, a lot of trouble steps. That's why it's so important to learn self-determination, self-dedication, self-diligence, self-discipline. My goodness, kids. Yeah, Dad, yeah. And does he tell this to his kids? Do you know whether he does or not? Do you care whether he does or not? Or do you just want to whisper negative things? And you see, then what does the group start whispering? Wow, Bill Gates is a genius in his computer work. He's a genius as a father too. What a master. Wow, if I had a dad only a little tiny bit as good as that, I'd be so happy, you know? Think about that. Just think about that. When you hear a whisper about somebody, about anything, you hear a whisper that something not nice or something even nice. Do you get behind that whisper and encourage it to continue? Well, if it's nice, isn't that nice to him? No, none of your business. None of your business. You whisper about yourself if you like, and even that's none of your business. You speak right out, boldly, positively, wonderfully, about who you are and what you are. You never carry tales. You never carry tales. You never tell gossip, even if the gossip is true. You never carry gossip, because the minute you carry gossip, somebody has come in between and messed it up, so that the gossip that you thought was valid is no longer valid. The gossip that you were part of, that you thought was a compliment to a person, has now become not a compliment, you know? One very wealthy man was asked why he doesn't endorse people who are living for the Hall of Fame and things like that. He says, never endorse a living person to the Hall of Fame or something like that. Because while they're still living, something could happen and mess up their whole life. And then they wouldn't be worthy of the Hall of Fame. And we would have put them in the Hall of Fame without giving it the proper attention. And you say, oh, how could that ever be? Well, look at Richard Nixon. Here he was, President of the United States, super guy, wonderful in every way, and he goofed. Look at Clinton, a lover boy, you know, and he goofed. Look at Kennedy. He was just party, party, happy time boy. And he had the Bay of Pigs. But he had the wisdom to move around it so that he wasn't the bad guy. And look at Reagan. Reagan went to Germany. And when he went to Germany, he was so bold, one of his writers had him say, Mr. Khrushchev, take down that wall. And so he did. And he told, I think it was Khrushchev, to take down the wall, the Berlin Wall, because it was not nice anymore. It was not right. And he did. He did. Now, you say, he took it down. Well, it was Reagan who told him to take it down and made him look stupid for not doing it. And of course, he wanted to look good because he was trying to democratize his country, his great Russia. And you see, things that get whispered around. Oh, Reagan, he sleeps while the committee meetings are going on. How many of you have fallen asleep on lesser things than committee meetings, you know? And how many of you have been in your late 70s and early 80s and were as active and competent as he? To whisper about people like that is without any soundness, without any validity. We have to be very careful. It is not what people say about me that matters, it's what they whisper. Because when they whisper, then they're setting something in motion, a secret that the world shouldn't know. And this is why I teach all of you and myself, always tell everything. Always tell everything. It won't work. It won't always work that you are found innocent or that you are found that they're nice things to say. But if you always tell the truth, you know that you did what was right. And if you're whispering, don't tell it at all, because then you don't believe in it either. If you cannot speak out firmly and strongly and say the truth, then you don't believe in it either. And I've met so many people in my work as a minister, as a practitioner, as a counselor, as a psychologist, in every way that I'm working. I've met so many people who like to say, yeah, but look at that. Yeah, but look at my mother. Yeah, but look at my dad, you know. Yeah, but look at where I come from. Look at my genes and my chromosomes and stuff like that. How can I ever become wonderful and good? I mean, you know, it's human nature to do these things. It's human nature to pick on people. And I say, yeah. What nature do you want? Do you want to aim at your divine nature? Or do you want to stay in your human nature and enjoy it? That's okay. The world thinks nothing less of you when you stay human. But the world thinks a great deal of you when you aim for your divine. When you stop whispering and you start speaking soundly, beautifully, positively, and wonderfully. It's up to you. It's up to you. We have a future talk coming up, and it says something to the effect, the only thing that we can be sure of in this life is change. And that's true. The only thing you can be sure of in this life is change. Until you stop whispering and you start living from the divine within you, and then you will live from the changelessness of all. the ideal principle that guides and governs and directs our entire life. So even statements that we'll be making have a double edge to them. And be careful which edge you're sitting on. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.